Welcome back to the Community Christian Church Downers Grove podcast. This week we're joined by Community Pastor Ted Canaris for the continuation of our series entitled Breakthrough. This series will journey through the book of Acts to learn how the Spirit was at work in the early church and how God wants to use breakthrough in our lives today. We will be asking God to break through in the areas of prayer, people, places, and plants. This message was recorded live in Downers Grove on Sunday, November 3rd. Community in Downers Grove gathers on Sunday mornings at 9 and 10:45 a.m. at 3910 Highland Avenue in Downers Grove, Illinois. Visit welcomehomedg.com to learn more. Follow us on social media at Community Downers Grove on Facebook and at Community DGR on Instagram. And if you'd like to give financially to support Community Christian Church in Downers Grove, visit givenow.cc. Subscribe to our Turn the Page Bible Experience podcast as well for daily readings and commentary throughout the series. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you on a Sunday soon.
Since we started Community, we've seen God respond to our prayers and breakthrough in amazing ways. From the very beginning, we prayed that Community would be an impact church. It wasn't long before God broke through and we became one of the fastest growing churches in the country.
But we also prayed for a breakthrough to become a reproducing church. And our church began to reproduce a second, third, fourth, and eventually 10 locations across the city and suburbs. And now we are looking ahead to the next few years for our church family. And as we pray and ask God, what's next for Community? We believe He is saying, ask me for a breakthrough.
Breakthrough happens in places, in all the places we have community locations. Our Downers Grove location recently acquired a new church building in a great neighborhood. Breakthrough will invest in renovation and remodeling this new facility. A 24/7 multi-use space is needed in Lincoln Park to make our presence and impact much greater in that community. We will begin a needs assessment for our Montgomery location. Now, this could lead to relocating to a more visible 24/7 space that will allow us to reach hundreds of new families in that area. It has been 5 years since the auditorium was opened in Naperville, and earlier building features are in need of some attention. We will redesign and update the gym and theater spaces to better engage and serve kids and students. In Yorkville, we have an opportunity to reach new families seeking to find a church home. We'll invest in targeted outreach and marketing strategies to reach the growing numbers of families moving to Yorkville. We plan to launch Community Online in earnest after a very successful beta test run. Improvements in technology will be made, as well as creating a 3C platform, allowing our online attenders to celebrate, connect, and contribute as they find their way back to God.
On Sunday, November 17, all of our community locations will come together and each family will bring a one-time gift. On that day, bring that gift as well as your commitment to Breakthrough. And remember, Breakthrough is a commitment above and beyond our regular giving over the next 3 years.
My name is Berta Fuse, and I've been attending Community Christian Plainfield for the last 18 months. I first came to Community heartbroken, grief-stricken. I was in a very, very dark place. I was trying to figure out how am I gonna survive? And I just refused to believe that the Lord would abandon me. And then I just remembered driving past Community Christian on Route 59. I said, I'm gonna go in there one day. The relationship starts in the parking lot. There's people that are there, and no matter the weather, they're there to guide you into the parking lot. You get out of your car, you go to the door. Good morning. Then you walk inside the church and they're singing praise music. And then you have Tanya that walks up on stage and says, welcome to Community Christian, where our mission is helping people find their way back to God. All I knew in that particular moment was, Lord, I surrender. And I am willing for you to help me get over my heartbreak and my grief. My son died on February 2nd, 2018. My son committed suicide. I was heartbroken. My whole life changed that day because all I kept thinking was, Lord, only you can help me. Otherwise, I won't survive it. And then I go walking in the community Christian where I can kind of sit up straight and hold my head up. The first group I went to, Grief Share. That's when I finally figured out that I was not in this grief thing alone. And then I joined other groups, you know, women's groups, Bible study. I had never been a person that could understand the Bible. And there's days that he gives you a scripture that lets you know, I hear you when you doubt it. Go and not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Getting baptized, it was one of those open calls. And it's almost like something, the spirit or something, pushed me up out of my seat, because I stood up and I tiptoed down there and I was almost dancing down the stairs. When I came up out of the water, I felt new. I felt like I feel right now. I can feel him. It seemed like everything I'd ever done, or it just seemed like it was all washed away, and I was made whole, and I was home. When I think of breakthrough, I think of opportunity. I can see where the Lord has taken us. You know, I look at all the things that community does throughout the world, and I'm thinking, all the way over there, too. Take that step. Come on over to Community Christian. We've got sites somewhere everywhere. Plainfield, I'm more partial to Plainfield. Even if you're not going through something, imagine how much better your life will be if you connect, and how much you can change somebody's life by getting involved with this breakthrough initiative. I want to figure out what more I can do. What more can I do? And I'm praying. I've been praying. And I'm praying, Lord, whatever that breakthrough is, I want to be able to walk it and talk it for my church.
What an amazing story. Now, when it comes to breakthrough, it's important that we talk about places. Places are important. Your places are important. The places where you live, the places where you work, the places where you play are important. This week, as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about some of the places in our neighborhood where we live that are important to me. And I thought of this place. This is a picture of just downtown Downers Grove, just a few blocks from where we live. And I've just grown to love this place. I've loved the energy of this place, the events, the Friday night car shows, the summer stuff that's always going on. We just had a fall fest happen recently. There seems like always something going on in downtown Downers. And it's just been like such a fun place for our family to go and to enjoy. Another place that is really significant to me is this place right here. This is a pond near our house. And my boys love to go there and get dirty. You know, they like to find frogs. They like to catch fish. They like to just look for the grossest possible thing and touch it, right? That's what they want to do. But I know that this place, every time I drive by it, the years are going to go by and these boys get older, I'm going to remember that. And that place is going to be special to me. And I think of this place. That table right there. That's the table that Melissa and I sat in the very first time we came to Downers Grove asking God, is this the place you want us to come to start this new community? Is this the place where the breakthrough is going to happen? Places are important. Your places are important. And today, as we talk about breakthrough in places, I want all of us to kind of dream together the sort of breakthrough that God wants to bring into your places. And really, that's why we're starting this series. That's why we're in the middle of this 6-week series, because we believe that God wants to break through into our lives. Sometimes I think we're confused. We think that God might break into our lives if we're good enough, if we do the right things, if we say the right things, if we move in the right direction long enough, then God might, if we're lucky, break through into our life. But we kind of doubt it. See, that's just not the God that I see in Scripture at all. In fact, God tells us that he is a loving and good Father, one that loves to give good gifts. Our God wants to break through into our lives. He wants to break through into your life, into your places. In fact, we believe as a church, we're in the season of breakthrough. And that this short series is a series that's a part of a larger breakthrough time and season for us as a church. And a part of that season is this breakthrough initiative, which will happen over the next 3 years as we're seeking to prepare for the breakthrough that we believe God is bringing, not just here in Downers Grove, but all across the Chicagoland area and really all around the world. And we have this privilege, this incredible joy, this incredible responsibility to be a part of that breakthrough. And as we heard in the video, November 17th is going to be a big day for us as a church because we're really kicking off, sort of catalyzing this season of breakthrough with a day where we're going to be bringing a special gift and our commitment to how we're going to contribute, each of us, those who call Community Christian Church your home, to help this breakthrough happen here. There's so much work to be done, so many exciting opportunities that we all get to be a part of. But again, this season of breakthrough is bigger than even that. We believe that God wants to do something new, something great, something significant, something amazing, something unlike anything we've ever experienced before in our lifetime. We can feel it. We know that God is bringing it. And so as a church, we're thinking through how do we prepare for this? How do we prepare our hearts for this? What do we need to learn as we begin to see this breakthrough happening both here in Downers Grove and through all of our locations all over Chicagoland? And we thought there couldn't be a better place for us to start than by looking at the book of Acts and looking how these first followers of Jesus walk through the most significant season of breakthrough that this world has ever known as this new paradigm of after Jesus began. And as you'll see in the book of Acts, from the very beginning, places are really important. In fact, the whole book is sort of written around the movement, the breakthrough of God through different places. Remember this verse we've looked at the last couple weeks, the last words of Jesus recorded in the very beginning of Acts, Acts 1:8. It says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, I know some of you maybe aren't familiar with the geography of the time or the place that Jesus is speaking. So let me put this map up and show you. This is the ancient Near East, or the Near East today, still the same, right? And here Jesus is saying, we want you to start in Jerusalem, put that up there. Jerusalem is right where they were, right? This is where they were when Jesus was speaking these words to them. He said, I want you to start right here. And then from here, I want you to branch out to the larger area around you, to Judea and Samaria, which were the surrounding areas around Jerusalem. And then he said, I want you to go even further. I want you to spread this good news, this hope that God is for you and not against you, that any and all people are welcome at the table of God. I want you to spread that good news to the ends of the earth. So we got like Hurricane Jerusalem up on the screen here, right? But this is what God wanted to see happen, the spread of the good news to the ends of the earth, starting where they were to the very edges of what they knew to exist. And as you read the book of Acts, and I encourage you all, I hope you're doing this Turn the Page podcast and reading plan that all of us have been doing 5 days a week. If you're not, it's not too late to jump in. But really, Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the ends of the earth, is like an outline for the book of Acts. It's how the book of Acts is structured. Acts 1, chapter 1, through the first part of chapter 8, we see the breakthrough in the place of Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8 through Acts 13, we see breakthrough in the places of Judea and Samaria. What Jesus said is starting to happen. And then the whole second half of the book of Acts, Acts 13 through Acts 28, this movement continues and spreads to the edge of the known world. And the exciting thing is, it didn't stop at Acts 28. It didn't stop 2,000 years ago when the Apostle Paul was planting churches and the stories that we see written in Scripture. It continued on and on, spreading further, including more and more people. And this little unlikely band of nobodies from the middle of nowhere started a movement that changed the world as we know it. And it led to you sitting in this chair here today. It's incredible. It's mind-blowing to think about this kind of movement, and you may not realize it, but you just being here and being on mission in Downers Grove is actually a part of this greater Acts 1-8 movement that started with Jesus' very first followers and has led us all the way here today. In fact, here at Community, some of you might be familiar with our story over the last 30 years, but God has been doing an incredible Acts 1-8 kind of movement here as well with us that we've had this incredible opportunity to be a part of. And if you're not familiar, let me just walk through really quickly some of this history because I think it's so easy to miss it when we're in the day-to-day grind, to miss the big picture of all that God is doing and all that he's done in just really a very short amount of time. Community Christian Church started in Naperville in 1989 in the cafeteria of Naperville Central High School. 9 years after that, a man was developing a community out in the Romeoville area, and he offered the church some land saying, hey, why don't you just move the church 30 minutes away? They thought, well, that doesn't seem like a very good idea. But maybe we should rethink the way we do church. And the multi-site movement really was born here. One of the very first churches to do it, to start another location in a new community as a way to plant new churches. And then just a few years later, started another church in Caroline, and then another one in Montgomery, and then another one in Shorewood, and then another one in Yorkville, and then another one in Plainfield, and another one in Aurora. And then in 2011, on the very same day, we launched our first church in the city of Chicago and a church in Lamont. And then Eric Metcalf launched Lincoln Park in 2013, and most recently we started here just about 18 months ago in Downers Grove, continuing this movement. And I have the great privilege to share with you today, within the year, we're going to actually start two new locations, both inside prisons, one in Joliet and one in Aurora. How awesome is that? I mean, we could celebrate that. It's incredible to think of all that movement. It's overwhelming to think of all that God has done and all the stories and all the people and all the things that have happened to make that possible. But what's even better is that even that is not the end. The best is yet to come. This movement is just beginning. And we believe that God has called each and every one of us, each and every one of you, to join him in his mission of helping people find their way back to God. This is what Jesus came to us, and this is the mission that he entrusted to us to bring to the world. The question is, how can we, those of us gathered around sitting in this room, can we celebrate and send the good news and share the good news of Jesus in the place that God has placed each of you? Well, to do this, we want to continue looking at the book of Acts and look at particularly Paul as he finds himself in the city of Athens, Greece. This is found in Acts 17, and we find Paul in one of the most famous, one of the most cosmopolitan, one of the fastest moving, one of the largest cities in the ancient world. And even for Paul, getting through to the people of Athens was no small task. And I think how Paul went about this can give us some real solid instruction and guidance on how we can make an impact on the places where God has put us. So how does Paul go about tackling this incredibly huge mission? Well, Paul begins by listening to the place. He listens to the place. See, Paul wants to better understand the place he's trying to reach. So what does he do? He walks around the city. He observes the city. He takes down notes. He's looking carefully. He's observing the culture, and he's observing the place. And one of the things that he discovers is that the Athenians, they're like consuming new ideas like Americans consume fast food, right? I mean, this is what they do all day, every day. They sit around, and they talk about stuff. In fact, Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, he makes this kind of funny observation about the people of Athens. He says this in Acts 17:21. All the Athenians and foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. This is what they did. It's like a city filled with professional beard strokers, right? If you picture like Gandalf in a toga, that's pretty much Athens, right? You've got it. And if Paul's going to be effective in reaching this place, he has to realize that he's reaching a people that spend their free time collecting new ideas, hearing new things. And so when Paul is invited to speak to a group of these philosophical types, he starts with what he's learned about them. In Acts 17, 22 through 23, we say, Paul, stand up in a meeting of the Areopagus. And this is really like a group of 21 philosophers and leaders of the city of Athens. And he said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing that you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. You see, the Athenians, they wanted more knowledge. They wanted more understanding. And so Paul starts out with something they don't know. He says, you have an altar to a God you do not know. So let me tell you about the God that you can know. Let me tell you about the good news of the person and the work of Jesus. You see, Paul doesn't just stand up at the first corner that he comes across with a bullhorn yelling, come to Jesus. He started by listening to the place. He got to know the culture. He observed the people. And when he was given the opportunity to speak, he was able to do so in a way that connected with the people of that place. You see, I think the wisdom of Paul's approach, the love that's behind taking the time to actually get to know a place before you try to speak into it, is a principle that applies to all of us even still today. The problem is, most of the people here in this room, most of us, are not foreigners visiting here as a foreign land. And so it can be harder for us to maybe pick apart some of the cultural distinctives that make up this place, that make it unique, that are maybe opportunities for us to love and to bless and to influence. And so what I want to do is sort of maybe give you a little bit of a framework. There are a lot of different ways to look at culture, but I'm going to give you a little framework today that I think will help those of us who are maybe just swimming in the water, unaware of the culture that's swimming around us, so that we can understand it and so that we can better step into it and better love it and serve it. And I'm going to do it by using something Rich Gorman developed, a church planner. He calls the four P's of a place. And these four P's exist in every single culture. Okay, I think it'll be a helpful framework for you. The first P is this, pain. Pain, looking at the pain of your place. Now remember, this place could be a workplace, it could be a neighborhood, it could be a city, it could be a region, it could be a nation, it could be a world. But what's the pain? What are the things that drain the life out of your community? Is it loneliness? Is it anxiety? Is it depression? Is it poverty? Is it addiction? Every place has pain. And if we want to make an impact, a difference, if we want to love our community well, we have to know the pain that our community is experiencing. The first P, pain. The second P, pennies. We have to understand how the economy works in a particular place, how resources flow to and away from something, how resources flow to and away from your community, from your workplace, from our city, from our village. It's important we understand, like, who's the biggest employer in your area? For example, here where we're sitting, the biggest employer in this area is the hospital that's just a couple hundred yards away from me. We have to understand how resources flow, how the economy affects and impacts the people that live in your place. Thirdly, P, power. Where are sort of the hubs of authority in your place? Is it a school board? Is it partners? Is it a local government? Is it homeowners association? Whatever it might be, what are the hubs of power in the place that you're trying to reach? If we're going to reach a community, if we're going to share love with it, if we're going to serve within it, if we're going to speak a native language and work through the native systems, we have to understand the native power. Every culture, every place has power structures involved. And fourthly, my favorite, parties, right? Parties. Every community has different things that they celebrate. You can travel anywhere around the world and find diverse, unique celebrations celebrating important and unique things to that particular place, right? What are the parties in the places you find yourself? What are the parties in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your city, in your region, in your family? What are the things that are celebrated? What are the things that are important to you? You have a great opportunity. We have a great opportunity just by being intentional about those parties, by going and having as much fun as possible at those parties with intention to bring love, support, and hope maybe into some of the pain. We don't know what opportunities will arise, but we have to be aware of these four forces involved in every single culture. There's pain, there's pennies, there's power, and there's parties, and we have unique opportunities to engage and to love on people through each and every one of these areas. Paul listened to the place. Motivated by love, he slowed down, took the time to get to know the place. But not only that, Paul involved his whole self in his ministry. He didn't just get to know the place. It wasn't just like an intellectual exercise for him. He was broken for the place. In fact, Luke begins the whole story by pointing this out. It says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed. He was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Love is the starting point for mission. Love is the starting point for mission. Paul was greatly distressed because he cared greatly for the people, right? If you don't care, are you going to be greatly distressed? No, of course not, right? The reason Paul was so moved by this because he's walking around these streets, a city where he's observing the pain. He knows the people who are suffering in this community. He knows the needs that are in this community. He knows the hopelessness that is in this community. And he looks at these stone statues built all over these amazing roads in Athens, and he knows not one of them can move an inch to help a single person. And he's deeply distressed because he's broken over this place. We have to know the pain in our city if we want to reach our place. I just did a little bit of digging this week to find some of the pain. Some of it I was aware of, others I wanted just more specifics. Some of the pain that's in our surrounding community. And I think we have to get to a point where we're just not okay with these things anymore. And where we're going to engage in them. You know, 15% of adults in our area are clinically depressed. More than 10% of adults suffer from some form of substance abuse. Teen suicide rates are at an all-time high, astronomically higher than they've been before. Loneliness is like an epidemic. 47% of people in our area say they suffer from loneliness. And tens of thousands of people within just a few miles from where we're sitting right now do not know God, are not actively a part of a faith community. Just 1 in 10 people in our community are a part of a church, are seeking after God. See, I think these things break the heart of God. And I think they ought to break our heart as well. We've got to listen to the place. Got to be broken for the place. And then we've got to reach out. Reach out to the place. I think Paul would have done anything to reach out to the people, the places that he visited and taught and led in. In fact, he writes a letter to this church in Corinth, and this is one of the things that he says to them. He says, I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. And for Paul, if that meant going to this group of philosophers and doing some beard stroking together, guess what? He's in, right? He's in. He's going to go do it. Paul, he engaged their rational minds. He engaged their rational minds in the way the Athenians wanted to have these kinds of conversations. See, he comes into their home turf. He uses their home language, and he does it in their home way. Paul listened to the place. He was broken for the place. And then he reached out for the place. I want you to think about those four P's again. And think about how might God use you in one of these four areas? How has God maybe uniquely prepared you in one of these four areas? Maybe he's given you a unique window into some of the pain points of our community, and he's going to ask you to step into it and bring hope and life and healing. Maybe he's given you a unique opportunity to be in a circle of power, to be able to distribute some of the pennies in your community or in your business in a more just and loving way. Maybe he's given you the great privilege just to do and be at a lot of parties, right? And you just have a chance to love on a whole bunch of people in a whole bunch of fun ways. How has God called you to continue this movement that started in the person and work of Jesus and that's led all the way to here today? We get to be a part of this. And what astounds me the most is just that fact. Out of all the ways that God could have done this, out of all the ways he could have ushered in his breakthrough, you know what he chose to do? He chose to use you. He chose to use me. See, we are his plan. We are his plan to bring about the breakthrough in these places. We are the people that God is calling and moving into these places. Nobody is better equipped to reach your community than you. Nobody is better equipped or placed to reach your family than you. Nobody is better equipped to reach whatever place you might find yourself in than you. Too often we think it's somebody else, somebody out there who's going to do this other thing, and we overlook the just small opportunities that we have to love and invest and reach out to the people around us. Are we listening? Are we broken? Are we reaching? So I want to issue two challenges for us today. The first challenge is to show up. Show up. As I think back at the story of community over the last 30 years, I'm just astounded at God's faithfulness to this place, his goodness, his undeserved favor. And I want to challenge you to show up, to keep showing up, and to be a part of that, because here is the great, wonderful news. The God who has been faithful over the last 30 years is the God who has been faithful for all of eternity. The God who has been passionate about people finding their way back to God in the Chicagoland area and around the world is just as passionate today about that happening as he ever has been. And so we can show up expecting to participate in a community belonging to and being faithful to a faithful and loving Father who wants to give good gifts to the people who love him. Show up. Just show up and see what God can do. Secondly, I want to challenge you to suit up. Suit up. It's time to get in the game. It's time to get off the sidelines, to strap on your uniform, and get in the game. Like I said, I think sometimes we sort of zoom too far out on the map. And we think about this kind of movement of God, of reaching people who are far from him, and we think that's somebody else, somewhere else. Instead of thinking, no, that's me, and that's right here. It's you. It's you. Sometimes we believe this lie that we're not good enough, we're not strong enough, we don't have what it takes, we don't have enough experience, we don't know all the answers to the questions, and so we couldn't possibly be the person who is going to bring breakthrough to this place. But that's not how it works. Look at the life and the followers of Jesus. I mean, Jesus chose a group of 12 complete nobodies who were completely unqualified to do anything other than what they were currently doing. I mean, these guys were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were just grinding it out, everyday people like you and me. And he said, on these people, with these people, the entire world is going to be different because I'm going to fill them with my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to empower them to do things that they could never dream possible. When they plant a seed, it's going to produce 100-fold what has been produced in it. And that same gift has been given to each and every one of you who decides to follow Jesus. Wow. It's time to suit up. Don't let insecurity, fear, Don't let it stop you. Move forward. Step into the fullness of what God has for you. And watch. Watch what God can do with just a mustard seed of faith. So let's listen to the place. Let's be broken for the place. And let's reach out to the place that God has placed you uniquely to be. Let's pray. As we've done these last couple weeks, I want to guide us through a brief time of prayer. We're going to do this in three parts, and we're just going to do it in the quietness of your own seat in your mind. First, I want to ask you, invite you to ask God for a breakthrough in a place that's close to your heart. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's at your work. Maybe it's at your favorite coffee shop. I don't know where, but just pray this simple sentence. God, I ask you for a breakthrough in this place. Go ahead and do that now. Next, I want you to think about the breakthrough that you're longing for in this place, in our church. How would you love to see God move? Take a moment now and ask Him for a breakthrough here. Finally, together with one voice, let's pray for breakthrough in our church and community as one. So let's read this together. Let's pray this together. We look up on the screen here. Father, we ask you for breakthrough in this place and any place we find ourselves. We open ourselves to the work of your Holy Spirit. Grow us, transform us. Use us to further your mission in this world. We pray all this in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The church, we are God's plan to bring breakthrough to the different places that you might find yourself. And the whole reason that we can do this is because that was first done to us through Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't just stay in his place. He came into our place, fully knowing our experience on this earth. And he took all of our failures, all of our shortcomings, all of our sins on himself in his death. He paid the price for everything that anybody has done wrong. And then through his resurrection, he victoriously defeated our ultimate enemy, the result of all that is wrong and evil and bad in this world, death. And when we say yes to Jesus, when we follow him, we receive his life. And we receive an invitation to join him in his mission of helping people find their way back to God. And so it's time to show up and it's time to suit up. And as we take communion together, we celebrate this incredible movement of God to this place, to your place, so that you could have life to the full as God intends it. So ushers, if you would come forward, and as they pass this plate, I want you to take a piece of bread in the cup, and it symbolizes the body of Jesus that was given for you and the blood of Jesus that was shed for the forgiveness of sins, to establish a new covenant, a new promise, a new way of living between God and humanity, one of peace, of wholeness, and life. So take these symbols of that sacrifice, of that love, of that movement of God towards us, and hold on to it. And we're going to sing together here, and then we're going to take it together in just a moment.
Hey, Community Pastor Ted Canaris here. Thanks for listening to our podcast today. If you were inspired, encouraged, or challenged by what you heard today, I just want to encourage you to join a small group. It's the best way to keep the conversation going and to dive into what we're talking about every week with others asking the same questions as you. The best way to do that is to text SGINFO, all caps, one word, SGINFO, to 313131, and we'd love to help connect you into a small group today. Thanks again, and have a great day.